It's the MyMac Podcast Reunion Show with Chris Siebold, Guy Searle, David Colm, Lee Givens.
And me, Chad Perry, MyMac Podcast number 179.
The next generation of radio, it's the MyMac.com Podcast.
I'm Tim Robertson, the publisher of MyMac.com, and this is our weekly podcast. Once again, after almost 20 episodes, I'm back at Chad Perry's recording it here. Hello, Chad.
Hello, Tim. Good to have you back.
It's good to be here again. I couldn't believe that it's been almost 20 episodes since the last time you've been on the podcast. It was before Macworld Expo.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's craziness.
Well, you know, I've been pretty busy. You've been pretty busy. And, of course, the new studio set up and the new baby. So.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. One of the new things going on is Lee Givens is on the show. Hello, Lee.
Hey, everybody.
You know, there's a lot of stuff going on when it concerns the company you work for, AOL. We're not really going to get into speculation on the show. We'll leave that for other places. Plus, I don't want to put you in any uncomfortable positions.
Oh,
like,
we,
you know, in the back of a Volkswagen or anything.
Buried in giant stadium.
And David Cohen from the UK. Hello, David.
Good evening, all.
Do you guys prefer the UK or England, or what do you guys prefer? I mean, what's...
We tend to talk about... we don't really talk about the UK that often. We tend to say Britain... Or, but we don't really tend to send England because we are a group of countries. We've got England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland. So, but whatever you feel comfortable with, I'm not really bothered.
The Brit.
The Brits. Blimey.
Guy Searle's here. Hello, Guy.
Hello, everybody.
And of course, we've got Chris Siebold.
Yay!
And it's been a long time since we've had you on the show, Chris.
Yeah, it's been a while. Hi, everybody. How's it going?
You know, the thing is, we actually have an audio file from you separately from this. It's a dashboard minute from Guy and a Not Mac News from Chris. So we're going to play those a little bit later in the show. I'm going to, you know, a lot of post-editing here. Plus, we have a segment from Nemo, and I'm kind of looking forward to that because I haven't listened to it myself yet. It's just been a crazy, crazy week. What with Apple being sold and... Oh, wait, no, that didn't happen, did it? Nothing like that. You know, Chris, first, right off the bat, thank you for sending in the Not Mac News. It's going to make it, you know, very much a 2005 podcast for us again. Because it's been a long time since we've had you on the show. What's been going on in your life since then?
Not too much. I wrote a book. That's probably the biggest
You thing wrote a been. Book.
A
yes,
book.
What's the book?
The Big Book of Apple Hacks from O'Reilly.
Sweet.
It's one of their hack series books. We've got a really good writer in it. His name was, I can see his face. He's a tall guy, gray hair.
Tall guy?
Does he have blonde hair?
It's gray, and it's kind of receding.
Oh. He likes to say blonde and full, but...
No, it's just really, really blonde.
Oh, okay. It's the blondest hair you've ever seen.
Yes.
Big Not Book of Apple Hacks. Tips and tools for your Apple hardware, software, video, and music. In a nutshell, could you make it a little bit longer, the title? I'm just curious.
I don't think the in the nutshell thing's staying. I haven't actually seen a copy of, you know, hard copy of the book yet, but on the cover it's not there. In fact, I'm happy to give away a copy tonight if anybody, if you want to figure out a contest or something too.
Yeah, we could do that, definitely. Let's just make it a real simple one. Send an email to, do you want to send it to, I don't have the contest email set up anymore. It was getting a lot of spam.
Yeah.
So just send it to tim@mymac.com, and I'll just randomly pick somebody from that list.
Mm-hmm.
Just put contest in the subject matter, and I'll forward Chris whoever wins.
That sounds great.
Cool. Thanks, Chris.
Right, fantastic.
So how long did you work on this book?
Well, Tim, as we were discussing the other night, I worked for a solid year on this book. Day in and day out. It was like the salt mines. No, I worked a really long time on it. So it got messed up because Leopard got delayed. I'm sure, you know, everybody remembers that.
Yep.
And that just pushed the whole project way back. But we got through it. It's 600-something pages now. So I guess there's something for everybody.
That's a heck of a book, 600 pages. I don't know if I could do that.
Well, I used some of the same words twice. That made it a lot easier.
Really? That's easier than... That's almost cheating. That's like copying and pasting.
Yeah, he also used some stuff from the Urban Dictionary, so that helps too.
Plenty of that.
Was this book your idea, or did O'Reilly come to you about this?
Well, I was in contact with O'Reilly. They had emailed me about updating the Panther Hacks book for Tiger. That's how long...
Which wasn't...
Yeah.
That wasn't even your book, was it?
No, that was Rail Dornfest. But, you know, they try to get someone different to update it sometimes. And so I thought, it sounded like a small project, something I could do. The next thing I know, I don't know how these things morph. They're like, well, what we really want is a really big book about everything Apple. Can you do it? And I was like, I guess.
Yeah, well, maybe.
You really want us to.
Yeah, so it was.
So you solicited hacks from other writers as well.
Yeah, I did. I probably got 20 contributors in the book, and you know, wow. they made a lot of difference because no one wants to read me for 600 pages.
I'm not in there, by the way.
No, I asked.
He kept asking, and I procrastinated, which I'm a master of procrastinating. And I'm an author myself. I've got a book a couple years ago, and yeah. I can't imagine doing a 600-page hack book. I mean,
fantastic.
Good Lord. So what's your favorite hack in the book that's one of yours, not like Guy Searle's How to Hack, you know, GarageBand?
My favorite hack in the book that's one of mine. Actually, I really like all the hacks I did, but I think my...
I like them all, actually.
I'm just kidding. Some of them, I can't say which ones, but I was like, if I ever to read this again...
There's this one AOL hack that we did, and how to get a free account on AOL.
That's right.
That's actually pretty easy nowadays.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's from 1999.
You just messed up three chapters of this book, Lee.
Gosh, I don't know. You know, I'm just trying to looking through the table contents right now. I can't really pick out one. I guess my favorite would be to change the login window with a picture of your choice.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's one I came up with as like a sample for the book a long time ago, and it worked really well. It got popular on Dig, and then people started incorporating it into programs they were writing. But
So on something like this, Chris, do you set some ground rules about, you know, how you want the hacks to be? Do you say, well, it's got to be something built into the operating system, and I'm not going to allow third party, or, you know, is it open season on pretty much anything anybody can come up with?
Well, you know, I think for my book, the big book, Apple Hacks, it was definitely open season. If it took up words and pages, you know, but it had to be interesting. There had to be a payoff. So
we need screenshots. Screenshots. Give me screenshots.
Oh, there's plenty of those in there. You won't get lost.
Did you go into iPod or iPhone or anything like that, or Apple TV?
We did the Apple TV. Actually, there's a hack in there how to, get SSH access without. Cracking it open. That's a pretty useful one. We did some iPhone stuff, but that was towards the end of the book, and I wanted to kind of stay away from that with iPhone, you know, the SDK and stuff coming out, because any hack I did probably, you know, it's going to be a program in a week.
Yeah, that's true. And the development is moving so fast on the iPhone that it's, I don't know what you could really do and stay current in a printed book.
Yeah, so that was one of the rougher chapters, but we've got some stuff in there, so.
Is this going to be just a hard book, or is it going to be soft, i.e. electronic as well, or it's just a physical copy of the book?
Well, they have Safari Online, which I'm assuming will be up on Safari Online sooner or later, and that's access to all of O'Reilly's books for whatever, a monthly fee or a yearly fee, I can't remember. It was free for me because I was an author. So you can go through all their hacks books. But I don't think that it'll be an ebook, a standalone ebook by itself anytime soon.
Is this the first book that you've really written, other than the ebook that you did at MyMac?
I did the ebook at MyMac. I contributed to an iPod Hacks book, and then, this book.
Awesome. How many copies are you getting for yourself?
I that was something I tried to negotiate when I first got the contract, just to have something to negotiate. And they're like, ask for more books. And I think they sent me 6 or 10. So I asked for 16 or 10. I can't remember what. And believe it or not, O'Reilly was hard about it. They're like, no, what do you need them for? It's like, you know, I don't know. I just wanted something to argue about.
So the Mac world has changed quite a bit since the last time you were on the podcast, Chris. Heck, the podcast has changed a lot since you've been on the podcast. What's the biggest surprise to you in the Apple world as of late?
I think I think I've been I was surprised by the reception of the MacBook Air. I thought people would like it more than they did, but I'm not surprised by the sales. It's selling very well. I was just surprised by the complaints.
The complaints of the Air itself?
Yeah, about the MacBook Air. And, you know, it's just something. If you don't like it, don't buy it. It's.
I think part of that was, you know, everyone had been waiting for some new sub-notebook from Apple for so long. I think everyone had a vision in their own mind of what they expected it to be. Right. And, of course, Apple came up with something that was completely different than everyone had expected, and so they all started griping about it.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right. That sounds like a reasonable explanation.
One of the things that everyone keeps talking about is a tablet. Everyone seems to, I don't know, at least the rumor sites really kind of harp on, there's going to be a tablet coming, or Apple's working on a tablet. Lee, do you think Apple will ever release a tablet?
No, I just don't see a market for a tablet. I mean, I love gadgets, right? And if my first tablet I ever used was a Grid back in the 80s. I never sat there and looked at it going, this is going to revolutionize things. And I don't know, Apple, you know, Steve Jobs' motto is they build products that they want to use. And I'm pretty happy with my MacBook, so.
I think the iPhone and the iPod Touch kind of killed the whole tablet idea at this point.
Yeah, a lot of people said the Safari Pad was the predecessor of the iPhone, so I think they've been playing around with it for a long time. It's a natural multi-touch device, but I just don't know if there's a big enough market for it.
What do you think, Guy?
Touch? Yeah, I think about as far as they're going to go for at least the near future is going to be the Touch. I just can't see them. You know, I mean, has anyone heard about sales from Axitron for those tablet MacBooks. MacBooks that they were doing, the ModBooks?
Well, they're a private company, so I doubt if we're going to get any hard figures from them. But I just can't imagine. I don't know anybody who has a ModBook. No. Do you, Lee?
Not a single person. And, you know, we have people, especially in our design group, that, you know, they're first mover advantage. You know, they love that kind of stuff. And the designers told me they didn't really care for one, I thought they actually like the Wacom tablets with the built-in LCD screens.
Yeah, those are cool looking.
Those are cooler to them than having a whole Mac inside of a tablet computer.
What do you think, Chris? Any future for a tablet computer?
I don't think so, unless Apple can come up with some compelling software that, you know, really makes a tablet really worthwhile to Apple consumers. But short of that, not just to have a tablet, I don't think so.
Do you think that if they just made basically an iPod Touch in your living room that's a 13-inch screen that's an iPod Touch, wirelessly communicate with your stereo system to play music or videos, do you think that would constitute what everyone's looking for, or do you think that's just nothing that anybody wants?
A 13-inch square remote control?
Yeah, basically.
I mean, if that's what you want. Not for me.
Not for me either. What do you think, David?
I don't seem to do something like that. I think the only thing they might do is find a way to integrate an iPod Touch into a Mac at some point in the future, so you could maybe slide it in, and maybe when it was in there, the screen of the Touch would act as your trackpad, so you could have a programmable trackpad. But I don't see them taking, you know, the bigger Mac form factor and touch enabling the whole thing, because I don't think that really works as a model.
Here's something that kind of surprised me. I'm here at Chad's house and doing the podcast this week, as you guys know. And Chad's G5, which is what we used to record the podcast on every week, still running, humming right along, unlike mine, which has a dead power supply in it. But you're running Tiger here, Chad. You haven't upgraded to the latest and greatest Mac OS 10.
No, I have not converted to Leopard yet.
And the funny thing was, it took me maybe 5 minutes of using the computer, and I went, this is Tiger, isn't it? And quite honestly, after using this for a few minutes, I can't think of anything I'm really missing that Leopard is offering me, other than maybe Time Machine, that isn't available right here in Tiger.
Well, Tiger really was
a little reflective dock.
A big step up with OS X as compared to either 10.2 or 10.3.
No, I don't think it's that big of an update either. But like Chad was pointing out, he doesn't have that little glassy-looking dock. That's definitely one thing. Speaking of Chad, you finally moved up. The last time we chatted on the podcast, you were waiting and waiting and waiting. You have an iPod Touch.
Indeed, I do.
So what do you think? Give us the report card.
Oh, I think it's fantastic.
I like the pictures of you with it wrapped around your neck, the snake thing.
Oh, that was great.
The Naja King.
Yeah. That was great.
Yeah, no, I think just to tag along in the discussion about the whole
tablet,
I just don't see a need for one, especially after owning a Touch and playing with a Touch. I just don't see a need for one. Why would I want something that big?
Yeah. Now, have you found yourself watching videos a lot on the Touch, or is it just basically music?
Mostly music. I use it a lot as an organizer now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with the new apps.
The contacts and stuff?
Yeah, I use the contacts, use the notes right now, and use the calendar function pretty extensively.
Now, as a Touch owner, you're going to have to pay for the iPhone iTouch 2.0 update when it comes out. I think it's probably going to be like $20.
Yeah.
And that's going to give you access to all these applications that are getting ready to be unleashed upon the world and your Touch and my iPhone.
Yeah.
Is that something that's kind of exciting to you, or you're like,
oh, absolutely. I actually went back and watched the SDK rollout.
Oh, okay.
They had March 6th, and actually that actually got me pretty geeked about
those games. Looked pretty cool, didn't it?
Oh, the games look good, but I just, for me, the some of the apps that are coming out are just...
The instant messaging really kind of excited me as well. And of course, you know, I'm not saying that because Lee's here from AOL, but that's something that I've really wanted on my iPhone for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Lee, will that work over a Wi-Fi network only, or will that work over, you know, Edge?
And can you comment?
Oh, yeah, we could comment. We're still working with Apple on a couple things we need to get fixed before we could deploy. But, definitely it'll work on all different types of network connections.
Yes, but will it blend?
I wonder how. Yes, will it blend? I wonder how AT&T feels about that, because to me, I never use the text messaging on it. I get 200 a month. I looked at my bill last month and I sent two. Maybe I received two. Two were used, and they don't roll over like my minutes do. And I'm not even coming close to my 1,300 minutes a month. I think I've got like 5,000 minutes right
roll
now.
Over.
Yeah, it just keeps rolling over and over. I lose them at the end of the year, but still. I never use instant messaging or the text messaging. I always use instant messaging to talk to people. That's where all my friends and family and all that is. So that's going to be something that I could really use. But I saw today that... rumors are going around that Apple is going to roll out the iChat on there with VoIP capabilities. Does that worry AOL at all, or you guys don't even think about it?
Well, I really don't think, especially with their relationship with AT&T, Apple would ever purposely roll out something with VoIP. I think that would be pretty hard. When you run iChat, AOL is pretty happy about that because it's running over our network anyway, so...
Yeah, it's your traffic.
Yeah, it's our traffic, and we AOL's trying to move to an open platform so that, you know, they really want people to be on the network.
Chris, do you have an iPhone now?
I got the iPhone the first day it was out, like some kind of Apple loser.
What do you think about the 2.0 rollout? Is it something that you're excited about?
You know, if it's the biggest leap ahead as the iPhone was over my Motorola Razr, I mean, I'm really excited. If it's something less, I'm still excited because I'm a sucker for everything the iPhone is.
Uh-oh, someone just fell over. You there, Chris? Yeah. Oh, okay. David, yep. I know that you own two iPhones.
Well, actually, no, I'm between iPhones at the moment. I sold my 8 gig, I've got a 16 gig one that I'm picking up next week.
Hmm. Why did you go with the 16?
Basically, I've started watching a lot more video podcasts, and I'd like to just download one version in high quality, and I was maxing out the memory with all of those if I wasn't catching up with them. So I thought I would take advantage of the US-UK exchange rate. I sold my US-sourced 8-gig iPhone for more than I paid for it.
Really?
And you know what? I put it up on eBay, and it literally sold in about 3 minutes.
Wow!
I put it up at a buy it now price, and it just went straight away. As I'm going out to the States on vacation next week, I thought I'll sell my 8 gig and then pick up a 16 gig while I'm over. And
was that jailbroken?
It was with the latest firmware is relatively easy to unlock. So I'd unlocked it. Yeah.
Now, did you pull your SIM card out of there before you
sent it? Yeah, because it's my SIM card I was using in it is my corporate SIM card from my company. So
probably be a good idea to get.
Yeah,
out.
So I'm back on my old Nokia at the moment while I travel out to the States. So
Yes. Guy, everybody here, including Chad now that has an iPod Touch, is basically on this platform. What are you waiting for, man?
I don't know.
You've been talking to Lefko.
I'm definitely going to wait until, because I mean, at this point they're talking, you know, the next gen iPhone coming out in either June or July or sometime around Apple's worldwide development meeting. So, yeah, I'm just going to kind of wait and see what happens. And if when the new one comes out, if it isn't anything that's that big a deal other than being 3G, I'll pick up one off the refurb. I'm a refurb boy.
You're a refurb boy. So by the time I see you again at the – well, I might see you for the 200th episode. We haven't talked about that yet. But by the next Macworld Expo, you're definitely going to be in the either – is the iTouch something that you'd be interested in if you just never decided to move to the iPhone?
Actually, I thought about that, but if I'm going to go for convergence, it would have to be the iPhone.
Yeah. Now, what size do you got on your iTouch, Chad?
16.
16 gig?
Yeah.
I tell you, I've got the 8 gig iPhone. It's, you know, I guess you'd say the first generation, even though the new ones are the same thing. I kind of wish it had more memory. I didn't think I would but it's becoming my iPod more and more and more every day. Every time I go to sync it, it says, you can't fit all the music that you've selected to put on here. Would you like to delete some of your pictures?
In other words, just delete it. Damn you.
Yeah. Do you ever have that problem, Lee, where it wants to get rid of stuff that's already on there to fit more stuff on?
Yeah, I have that problem a lot, and I really wish I had 16 or 32 gigs. But I actually played with the iPod Touch 32 thinking I could use that for – because, you know, I store a lot of movies and TV shows and stuff like that. But the one thing that's kind of weird is I really kind of wish the Touch had a speaker.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of weird.
I have to admit, I sat there for about 3 minutes going, why isn't it playing? I don't hear anything. I have to admit, I felt a little foolish, but I figured it out pretty quick.
I was kind of surprised at how much thinner the Touch feels than the iPhone. It feels significantly thinner.
Yeah, it's a really good in-hand feel. I really did like it a lot, but I use my iPhone. It's funny when you talk about all the rollover minutes, and I send about 5 SMS messages a month. You know, I have hundreds and hundreds of extra minutes. I use it a lot for video and iPod functions now. So
it's not necessarily your main telephone?
Well, I don't use – I try not to talk on the phone a lot anymore. I when I was a consultant, I was on the cell phone all the time. You know, I have a couple of those Bluetooth earphone, you know, headset devices, and I just don't use it a lot anymore. I make maybe 3 or 4 phone calls a day, you know, check with the wife, tell her, you know, there's a lot of traffic, of course, and I'll be late for dinner. That's my usual use of the phone. People at work, I am a lot. So I'm just waiting for, you know, people at AOL are really waiting for AIM on the iPhone. I mean, every day I'm logging into, you know, TinyBuddy, our web version of AIM, and I just can't wait. I can't wait till Apple rolls out, you know, the new SDK and the new firmware.
And that's going to push the messages to us, right?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty nice. I'm looking forward to getting our IT department to get the Exchange server set up so that I could use my iPhone and look at those BlackBerry people in meetings and snicker. That's what I'm going to do.
You know, one of the things that, speaking of the iPhone, that I've really got used to is using the headset, actually, you know, holding the iPhone up to my ear, which took me a while because it's just this. It's a brick, and you know, I'm holding it up to my ear, and it didn't feel like the flip phones that I've been using up to this point. But Sam Levin had the folks that make the Jawbone Bluetooth thing. I don't know why Sam does that. He had them send me one. Thanks, Sam. And by the way, we do have Sam Levin coming up here in a few minutes. I really like the Jawbone Bluetooth headset a lot better than the Apple one. The one that Apple sells is horrible. It doesn't stay on your ear. I just can't stand it. Maybe some people like them, but I don't like them at all. But the Jawbone, it's so light. It kind of fits on the top of your ear and wraps around a little bit and goes in. I drove all the way to Indiana and back with it in my ear thinking, well, if someone calls, no one did, by the way, you know, I don't have to pick up the iPhone and, you know, it's going to stop playing music and I got to unplug it and talk. It was just real comfortable. I kind of forgot that it was there.
Yeah. I met the Jawbone folks at CES, and they were doing a swap. If you brought your old Bluetooth headset in, they'll swap it for a – they'll give you a free one right there on the spot.
That was cool.
Well, did you do it? The funny thing is, I had a couple of old clunky ones sitting at home. I forgot to bring it. So I was like, I could have gotten a Jawbone. Oh, well.
Be right back.
Well, you know, I spent $100 on the Apple model, and I really wish I could get that $100 back now and just use the Jawbone. Well, I am doing that, but I'd rather the $100 back from Apple, and they can have this little junk. The only thing that I really liked about it, about the Apple one, is it comes with a dock that you put the iPhone in and the little Bluetooth headset, and it charges them both. And that's all you had to do to pair them. You just put them both in the dock, and it's paired. Unlike something like the Jawbone, where you have to go in the Bluetooth setup and enter 0000, and then it pairs it.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty smart move, doing the Bluetooth. I mean, doing the pairing through the dock. That was a pretty cool way of doing it.
I think that means that if I say I sold mine to David Cohen with the dock, if he put his iPhone in that dock with the headset, it would just pair it, right?
Yep.
I might just send it to you anyway. Okay.
Thanks very much.
Well, let's take a break here. We're going to jump over to a dashboard minute, and then a Not Mac News. Not Mac News with Chrissy. Just give us a little hint on what we're going to hear on Not Mac News.
Just if you're listening to the show, just start laughing now. About a minute and a half, stop laughing. And you'd be like, it's the greatest thing ever. Don't bother listening.
Why waste time? Just laugh now.
Yeah.
And then we're going to wrap that up with All Over the Mac with Nemo, and then we'll be back here with the guys.
You're listening to The Dashboard Minute on the MyMac.com podcast.
Good day to all you dashboard users. I'm Guy Searle, and I would like to welcome you back to the Dashboard Minute. While this is probably exciting news for at least one or two of you, don't count on this being a regular thing. Just a little bit of nostalgia as requested by Tim. The first one is called IAC2, and that's IACTU, and it's available through all the usual suspects and can also be easily found at widgetinfo.net. What to do? Imagine having the latest headlines from almost 500 newspapers from all over the world. If that was all it did, would it really be any biggie? Any good news aggregator can do the same thing, but IAC2 does much more. Each paper's front page is displayed in a mini shot, and you can choose to read the headlines from any of them. Once a paper is selected, you can then narrow it down by that paper's individually named sections. And there's still more. Any headline you select can be read by one of your Mac system voices, or the story itself is easily exported to text edit, to browse or print as you choose. You can also select to go directly to the newspaper site in the browser of your choice. If you're reading the story headlines in IAC2, you can make the text bigger or smaller, depending on what you're most comfortable with. A lot of work went into this widget, and it certainly shows. It's donationware, so if you find it useful, please visit their PayPal account and leave a donation. Last one for today is also from widgetinfo.net, and it's called the Refurb Store. What this one does is browse Apple's Refurb section and give you the latest pricing on all of Apple's gear, including the Mac, of course, but also iPhones and iPods. If you're interested in buying a Refurb product from Apple, like I did with my recent MacBook Pro, this is a widget you shouldn't do without. Don't live in the U.S.? Not a problem, as the Refurb Store has you covered, since you can select from a variety of other Apple stores all over the world. Like IAC2, if you find it worth your while, take the time to visit widgetinfo.net and click their PayPal donation button to leave them a little something. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and maybe we'll do this again sometime. I hope you've enjoyed this little trip on the Wayback Machine with the Dashboard Minute, right here on the MyMac.com podcast.
Not Mac News has learned from reliable sources that the big introduction at the Worldwide Developers Conference in June will not be the iPhone 2.0. Rather, Apple will be introducing the MacBook Argon. The machine is 3 millimeters thick and nutritionally buoyant, so if you drop it, the MacBook will just float in the air. To get the size and weight down, a number of engineering hurdles were overcome. One compromise is a lack of user-replaceable data. Instead of writing files to the Argon, Apple will ship every MacBook Argon with the necessary files to satisfy 90% of the users. That's a lot of porn. The Not Mac News listening device planted in Steve Jobs' car has finally paid off. We can report that Steve is planning to leave Apple the day after Bill Gates leaves Microsoft. The two are then planning on taking over the roles of PC and Mac in the Apple commercials. In one ad, Bill says, "I think Vista is super," and Steve retorts, "What the hell were you thinking with this, Bill?" To which Bill replies, "Windows 7 will be super and duper." Not Mac News, your number one source for fallacious news.
Welcome back to the My Mac podcast, and our segment is called All Over the Mac. We're meeting a young man, and he's sort of a man on the street today. What's your name, young man?
John Biggers.
And where are you from?
Nashville, Tennessee.
And I see you're holding an iPhone. Is this the only iPhone you've ever had?
Yes. I actually have purchased two more, and one was defective after, I guess, the third week. And it was replaced immediately. But other than that, I haven't had any problems.
But you said you've had two more?
Yes.
So do you own two iPhones?
Our business are all on the iPhone. We use the maps and the calendar to coordinate our deliveries and appointments.
How efficient and productive is the iPhone as a business tool?
Oh, it's worked so well for everything that we can throw at it. It's increased productivity tenfold.
What's the name of your business?
J.J. Ashley's. It's a furniture store in Franklin, Tennessee.
And do you use the iPhone just for business or also for personal?
For personal as well.
Does it get confusing knowing which part of the iPhone is for business and which is for personal?
Yes, especially in the address book, because we have over 400 contacts, and my personal call list is about 10, so finding, you know, your 10 contacts out of 400 can be a little tiresome.
Is there a way to make a sub-call list on the iPhone?
Yes, you can actually create a favorites list, which I keep just about 10 of the people that I call the most. And so that helps, you know, get directly to the person you need to quickly. They've also introduced a double tap on the... If you double tap the home button, it will actually, no matter where you are in the phone, it will pull up your favorite list immediately. So you don't have to go back into contacts and then find your favorites.
Did that come as one of the Apple updates that you pulled in via iTunes?
Yes, that was it was the second update. They added that as well as the iPod controls. When the phone is asleep, you double tap and you have the iPod control. Or if music is playing and you're in, say, Maps, you double click and it'll pull up the iPod controls as well.
Do you use the iPhone while you're driving to play your music?
Yes, I have an adapter that plugs into my car stereo, and I'm able to browse playlists and artists and genres and songs as well.
Who makes that adapter?
It came with the Mini Cooper, and it plugs into an auxiliary USB jack. It takes a second to dock and recognize the playlists and such, but it's pretty efficient. It works pretty well.
You mentioned a Mini Cooper. Did you get the Mini Cooper just because of the iPod adapter?
No, I definitely added that on. It was quite an expensive add-on, but it also has a Bluetooth-enabled hands-free talking module. That there's a microphone in the roof, and you can actually dial just by speaking, or it has a keypad on the stereo that you can dial with as well.
Was this a special custom from the Mini Cooper factory?
It is. A lot of manufacturers, I know Honda and GM have just introduced the hands-free talking. But a lot of the car companies are starting to do the hands-free Bluetooth accessory for the iPhone, actually.
Do I understand correctly that you keep your iPhone with you in your pocket or do you just keep it all the time in the car?
I usually keep it, oddly enough, when Bluetooth is on and you get in the car, it automatically recognizes the iPhone, and you can still do the hands-free without being plugged in.
Hmm.
So you can't use the iPod, but you can use the phone. But generally, I do keep the phone with me at all times.
And have you had any physical trouble with the phone? Have you dropped it or thrown it into the lake or anything like that?
The aluminum on the back is, it's not very sturdy. I mean, every drop that I've ever had has left a nick or a dent somewhere in the phone. But overall, I mean, it's seen some drops that I thought would have destroyed it, and it's been pretty durable, actually.
So the physical iPhone is robust as far as the way it's constructed.
It is. I think the optical glass really helped. I know initially the choice was plastic, but I think the optical glass really helped the screen be a little more sturdy. I've seen a few cracked ones, though.
If you were redesigning the iPhone, if you were in charge of the iPhone design team, what improvements would you suggest for the next physical version of the iPhone as opposed to the software or networking?
Physically, I would like to see the aluminum, possibly an all-black like the new iMac, just because the scuffs really start to show on the, you know, just around the edges and on the back. But other than that, you might be able to go a little bit thinner in the casing, but I like the feel, you know, the thickness. I know the touch is a little bit thinner, but I actually do prefer the weight, you know, holding it up to your ear. It has a nice feel to it.
And do you use the original Apple issue white earbuds that come with it?
Of course not. I use a few different, I've tried a few adapters. The Apple issued buds has the best control, you know, the adapter on the earbuds. Just the quality is so subpar that I'm using right now Sony in-ear earbuds.
The ones that are made just for the iPhone?
Just for the iPhone. They just were released a few months ago. The adapter will fit in to the iPhone jack, which, of course, has caused, you know, many problems with other vendors not fitting into the phone jack.
Do these Sony ones have the talking thing so you can talk?
Not yet, unfortunately. No.
Just for listening?
Just for listening. But before, I had to purchase a $9, you know, jack to just put any earbuds in there.
Mm-hmm. And how is the quality of the audio and the video as far as the actual content of the iPhone? Do you have any suggestions to make the content more enjoyable or more accessible?
There are a few bugs I've noticed as far as the iPod and Safari. They kind of clash. There's a bug that when you're playing music and browsing Safari, oftentimes the music will just stop unprovoked. So Safari and iPod, while doing both, they don't really go too well hand in hand.
Hmm, interesting. Now, what about networking? Are you satisfied with the way that the AT&T network, that's called Edge, isn't it?
Edge, yes.
Are you satisfied with the way that the AT&T Edge network fades in and out and responds relative to a Linksys or an Airport Extreme or some other broadband network?
My only concern with the seamlessness between, you have to leave Wi-Fi on to seamlessly, you know, switch from Edge to Wi-Fi. But while Wi-Fi is on, the battery, it taxes the battery a little. Even when the phone is off or asleep, it's still pulling from the battery the Wi-Fi signal. So when you leave Wi-Fi on all times, whether you're using it or not, it drains the battery significantly faster than if it was off. So I wish that Apple would find a way for Wi-Fi to turn off, you know, searching for Wi-Fi signals constantly and just detect, you know, a network and then turn on rather than just keeping it on all the time and draining the battery quickly.
Do you have a problem with the lack of speed and response when you're off the Wi-Fi and you're on the AT&T Edge?
It depends on where. I've noticed in the city it being a lot faster, but I would actually rather have a slower speed and longer battery life than, you know, a fast connection and just maybe 3 or 4 hours of battery time.
Well, we thank you, John Biggers, for joining us here on the My Mac podcast on our All Over the Mac segment. I guess today we can call it All Over the iPhone.
Yes.
But we hope you can join us again, and we pleasure to meet you.
Certainly. Thank you very much.
And we're back, and this time around we've got Sam Levin with Cool Mac Picks. Hello, Sam.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. We'll be a whole lot better once you tell us what the cool picks are this week. What's going on?
Well, it's not only cool Mac picks, but we can call it cool Mac and PC picks and cool iPod Touch and iPhone picks. Oh, who's dialing in today? All right. Anyway, so there's a cool new company called Simplify Media. So if you just spell it, simplifymedia.com, they've got a wicked cool application that lets you distribute iTunes or Winamp from your own library to anyone else in the world. So you have to be on your network. You know, iTunes does this already. If you're within the network, you can listen to each other's playlists if you're sharing them. Okay.
Right.
Which is absolutely wonderful. Simplify said, look, we're going to write this little application that sees your library. You can select the entire library or select playlists and share it. I think it's up to, I believe, 30 people that you could share. You've got to download the Simplify application on your Mac or PC. And not only that, but your iPhone or iPod Touch, as long as you're connected to broadband, you can listen to each other's playlists as well.
You just listen to it. You can, not just like a little message that you can they're listening to.
No, you only
this is actual audio.
You can listen to any of the iTunes that you publish or share with your friends. Now, on the iPod Touch and iPhone, the caveat is it's got to have the application, which is either through Liberty or the Jailbreak. But really soon, it's all going to be created with the app builder from Apple. So it'll be out, probably, I would say July, but you can download it right now on your Mac or PC. If you jailbreak, you can use your iPod Touch, and it works. It really works. I mean, I've been sharing a huge library and testing it with other Macs everywhere else, and I went and spoke with them today. These guys are very, very sharp, and it's free. So I would check it out.
Wow.
Simplifymedia.com. It's a way to share your music, free your music. That's what I call it. And you can't copy it. They're not breaking the law or anything like that. But anyway, I would say check it out, and you guys will love it, and hopefully our listeners will too. Our friends over at Western Digital, those are the guys that make the hard drives, right? Huge storage company. They're well known in this space. Well, they've come out with a whole new line of portable drives called My Passport Essential. And what's really nice about these drives are that they fit in the palm of your hand. They're USB 2.0, and they go up to 320 gigabytes of storage. And that's pretty significant. You could carry around a lot of data for 320. I mean, I remember not so long ago that these drives were like, 10 gigabytes.
Right.
So, and they come in 11 colors, which is kind of neat. I'm supposed to get a blue one, dark blue one, the next few weeks. So I'll be, having fun with it. And I'll actually, we'll see if we can get one sent your way, Tim, as well.
Is this run off the USB bus or does have its own power?
Well, I think, it doesn't say. It just says, USB powered. Yeah, power directly from USB port on your PC. That's right. You don't need a separate power supply.
Cool.
So it's nice. Now, they have hinted that there'll be a combo FireWire USB, but they really wouldn't tell me. I believe that they will come out with that for us Mac people that want dual support. I think it's cool. I've seen one, the black one that they've had. That was their original version. It's not expensive. It's $179 for the 320 gig version.
That's not bad at all.
It's not bad. And, remember, Western Digital makes an entire line. They make a 1 terabyte, a 2 terabyte version, not of this, but it looks kind of similar, except if you sandwich, you know, 5 of these together, that's their terabyte version. And
yeah, we're looking at the website right now, and it looks pretty attractive. I mean, it's small. It's pretty cool.
It's really small. I've seen it at Costco. I've wanted to mess around with it. So finally, you know, the PR people there are great. I've been talking with them for a while, and just finally they said, hey, you got to try this new drive out. I'm testing one of their 1 terabyte drives. And there's certain things that they ship on the PC that have not come out on the Mac that lets you distribute your files called MioNet. And we'll get to that when it ships on the Mac. But check out their stuff. I'll send the link because it's westerndigital.com. But there's so many products. They also make internal storage devices, of course. They make SATA, FireWire, USB, portable
devices. And Western Digital supplies hard drives to a lot of other, quote, hard drive makers. I mean, you buy these cases from other companies,
right,
and it's not West. You know, it's a Western Digital drive in there. These companies don't make their own.
Right.
So.
Right. Now those are probably OEM companies or secondary markets. But yeah, exactly. But they're a pretty cool company. The drive I'm using now, the terabyte drive, works perfectly. It's both FireWire and USB and eSATA, and I'm connecting it through FireWire to my Mac, or actually my PowerBook, using Tiger, and it works flawlessly.
A lot of new products coming out are these new eSATA connections. You think that's going to really take off?
Oh, eSATA, if I'm right, that's the fastest speed that you can go with. So I think that, you know, I want to try it out, the eSATA Express card. I think people want more speed, more power, more storage. I think that it is a good idea, but they need to create a valuable solution. And right now, you know, I don't see a bunch of solutions. I see a lot of drives and bigger drives and, you know, colorful drives, and that's fine. But I think the solutions are where they're going to be able to differentiate themselves, whether it's this company or other companies. But
right.
I like what they're doing. We'll in the next few weeks, we'll report on our findings with this drive, and I'll get you hooked up with your own so that we can share our experiences. And then lastly, our friends over at RadTech. I know we've talked about RadTech before, but John, CEO of RadTech, has been just wonderful. This guy is an engineer by trade, and when he develops products for the Mac market and PC, he really understands how to engineer them because, of course, he's an engineer. But they have come up with...
That helps.
Yeah, it does. But he understands design as well, and even though they're not really poised for retail, like you don't go to Best Buy and find RadTech in a box.
Not yet.
Not yet. And actually, there's a plus side to that because they're saving a lot of money on packaging and retail boxes to put in their engineering and in their design and in the process. And he's RadTech. By the way, it's radtech.us. That's the website, www.radtech.us. They've come up with a cool headset that's called the Pro Cable, and it's basically an all-in-one iPhone headset that's got the headsets, which are the in-ear canal headphones, and a mic, all built in together for $24.95. It's pretty cool.
I just heard about this from somebody was telling me about this product. I don't remember who it was.
It's it probably was.
I think it might have been Lee actually offline one day that he was talking about that. This is what he's using for his iPhone now.
Brand new. It comes in black and aluminum or silver color, and I think this is pretty important because I don't, you know, certain earbuds fit in certain ear canals. Like Apple's don't fit mine ears properly, so I don't use them. So for $25, these are really well made. I'll get some sent your way. I should be doing this before I even get on the call, but that's okay. And you know, the whole RadTech line is fantastic. You know, their sleeves that they sell are fantastic for their notebooks. If you ever use do you ever get imprints on your LCD screen from the keyboard?
Occasionally, I started covering it with something, right. A little piece of like soft cloth.
Well, what Radtech makes is something called the Notebook Screen Savers. So if you go to their site, go to the notebook section, it's called Screen Savers with S-A-V-R-Z, Screen Savers. And this is a cloth called Optex. And it's really, really soft. It's almost like a chamois substance, but you can clean your MacBook Pro monitor or screen with it. You can throw it in the wash, and also it protects the keyboard or the LCD screen from marring. And it's been a big problem with every notebook that I've ever carried, everyone. Because what happens is when you throw your notebook in a bag, sometimes you place other things next to it, and it causes it to sandwich. And, of course, the keys start to hit the screen.
Right.
This protects that marring and that scratching. And trust me, it's worth every penny. They just shipped a MacBook Air version. I tell you, I swear by this. You know when they say never leave home without it, that Amex commercial? This is one product that I will never leave home without. Honestly.
Well, there's an endorsement.
Honestly, guys, I have one for every PowerBook and MacBook. Well, I only have one MacBook right now, but when I get a MacBook Air, I won't use it unless I have a screensaver. So check them out. Radtech makes great stuff, and hopefully we'll do more and more with the team over there. And that's really it. Next week we're going to have a lot of new iPhone stuff. I'm still waiting about that new case that should be coming out in about a week. I thought it was coming out this week, but next week probably. But I'll fill you in on it.
I know you've been busy this week, Sam, but I'm wondering, did you check out my review yet of the Sennheiser HD650s? These are a $599 pair of headphones.
I haven't checked the full review out, but I know Sennheiser, I've been using their products for 20-plus years. Everything they make is fantastic. They're German, right?
Yes.
They just make great products. Great, great products. So I can't.
These are awesome headphones. I mean, a lot of people are not going to spend $599 for headphones, and these are not the headphones you're going to use with an iPhone or an iPod. You're going to really hear the deficiencies in compressed music. But
right.
Wow.
I have a chance to get these, and from the PR company as well. And you know, Tim, the reason why I have not done it is because I don't want to return these.
I know exactly what you mean.
I don't want to return them. So,
and that's one of the questions they asked after I sent them the review. They said, "Wow, that's great! Are you sending them back today?"
Exactly. So,
no, I don't want to.
But hey, just to let you know that next week I'll comment about obviously the review. But the Spire laptop case, by the way, I used it. Really, really nice product. Really nice people, and they came out with a whole new line of cases as well. That's on the MyMac review site.
Cool.
Viro laptop cases fits the MacBook Pro, so had to give them a plug. Really nice people.
Yeah, Russ seemed to like the product a lot. He did the review up at mymac.com. In fact, that's only a couple of links underneath this podcast. Sam Levin's Cool Mac Picks every, not every week, but most weeks right here on the MyMac podcast. Thanks very much for coming on, Sam. And we're back. Chad, it's kind of weird to be sitting next to someone again. Is it kind of strange to be back on the show for an episode?
After being gone, it feels natural.
Does it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, after, two and a half, 3 years of doing this?
You did it for 3 years, definitely. And, not quite 3 years. No, yeah, over 3 years, because you started in January of, 2005?
Yeah.
And your last one was January 2008, so that's, let me pull out my toes and...
Yeah, there we go.
That's three, yeah. So, Chris, are you on anything else other than writing books? Any websites people can go to read more of your stuff?
I've started writing again at applematters.com. So, I mean, if you go by there. I think I have an article up every Thursday. I'm going to try to spread out a little bit to promote the book.
Yeah.
So just look around the Mac web, and hopefully you'll see me somewhere.
Any chance of you coming back doing any more of your cartoons? Because I really enjoyed those.
You know, I really would like to draw some cartoons. Odd that you mentioned that. I tried to draw a cartoon night before last, and apparently my drawing skills have atrophied. I'm going to keep practicing, and there's a good chance I'll put some more up at my Mac.
Hey, dude, we'll always publish those. One of my favorite ones was your Thanksgiving ones, and I forget how it went exactly, but something about those turkeys and then Fear Factor worked into that somehow. I don't remember how that worked.
That was my all-time favorite. Well, the turkey's idea was they would not brush their turkey teeth and stuff and get real gross.
Oh, that's
right. So no one would want to eat them.
That's right.
And then they're out of Fear Factor. Well, that's not going to work, so they have to come up with a plan.
Yeah, that was great. The turkey's trying to come up with a plan not to get eaten on Thanksgiving. That's brilliant.
Yeah, hey, Chris, are you still doing the This Day in Apple History?
You know, I wrote all those up, 2 years ago, and so it's just, I guess I need to go back and update some of them. But other than that, no, that's pretty much done with. They still post it every day, recurring the content.
But they're just old ones, though?
You know.
Pre-written.
History.
Yeah, they don't have to be up to date.
Yeah, I don't write a new one every day, no. It's
yesterday.
I'm going to go back and update some, but other than that, I mean, I don't have an iPhone one in there. Love the iPhone, so I got to get that in there somewhere.
You got a lot of interest in Apple history still, or is it kind of burned out of you at this point?
I was really burned out on it, but now I'm really interested in it again. I was interested in it before I did that project, but I know you're a big history fan too.
Oh, I've always been. Not just Apple, but history in general. I mean, one of the things that I'm really enjoying right now is an HBO series that's all about American history, and it's kind of a passion of mine. I don't spend as much time in it as I like to, but nonetheless. What's going on in your life right now, Lee? I know you've been traveling quite a bit, and obviously we're not going to talk about Yahoo. You work for AOL right now. Next week it could be AOL or Yahoo. We don't know. It's kind of weird that the whole Yahoo is going to be displaying some Google links or
AdSense.
Yeah, they're giving up one of their ad spaces to Google to put ads into, which is interesting.
And then what's the other one? The News Corp is now going to work with Microsoft instead of Yahoo. I can't figure out what these gigantic companies are doing. It's almost like everyone's having a little hissy fit. Well, if you're going to do that, I'm going to do this. Oh, yeah.
You'll see.
I'm going to go out with him, and you can't. I mean,
I think one of the big things is happening now is there's if you look at, you know, Google's share price, they're under $500, and the whole industry's getting hit pretty hard with a decline, and, you know, with all the other problems with getting capital.
Yeah.
A lot of companies can't advertise online as much, so you get decreasing ad revenue. So all these companies are thinking, our infrastructures are, you know, our employees and all the stuff we purchased is really expensive. We need to consolidate. So it's one of those classical situations where the economy is kind of driving this need to consolidate. So you're going to see companies like Yahoo, Google, MSN, all with different ad platforms and all these things, and AOL sitting, you know, AOL has really built, they've just been buying hundreds of millions of dollars worth of assets. Now, you have all these different ad platforms and strategic relationships where Google owns 5% of AOL, and Yahoo and Google are sharing ad space. There's a lot of interesting things going on, but I think if you boil it all down, it's everybody against Microsoft.
Yeah, it kind of seems that way to me.
Yeah.
Except for News Corp. News Corp is now climbing into bed with Microsoft.
Yeah, and then you have News Corp who's sitting on the outside saying, ooh, we don't want to be left out, so.
Wow, your dog is fogging out our room here, Chad.
Uh-oh.
Ooh, yeah. I shouldn't have fed him the little bacon bit things, I guess.
It usually takes longer than that, though.
So, David, anything going on in the Mac world on that side of the pond?
No, it's pretty quiet at the moment. I mean, there's been some encouraging sort of rumors in the press about sales figures and that sort of thing. Apple seems to be doing pretty well.
Yeah.
The interesting thing that's kind of sort of slightly related to Apple stuff. There was an article in the papers this week about the BBC iPlayer, which
I saw that.
So Basically, the internet service providers in the UK have seen about a 10% increase in bandwidth use, which they can attribute to the iPlayer. And the iPlayer's been, you know, the iPlayer originally, when it first came out, was only for Windows machines. It's now actually being pushed out on all sorts of platforms. It's
including
available on the iPhone,
Nintendo Wii.
And the Nintendo Wii, exactly. And the ISPs have turned around and said, oh, well, this bandwidth needs paying for, so maybe the BBC should pay for it. Which means, you know, British people should pay for it because we all fund the BBC with a tax called the licence fee.
Yeah.
And they've received a pretty cool reception to that idea from the BBC and I think generally from the UK media. So I can't see that happening myself. I think they need to... I'm sure this will happen in the States as well. I think the internet service providers need to wise up and realize that they're not going to get money from content providers to actually to actually pay to shuttle the content between one person and another. You know, and the whole net neutrality debate's been going on over there for some time, but you know, I can't see it happening over here.
So, Chad, what's going on in your Mac world right now? I know, obviously, you've got the iPod Touch. Anything else going on technology-wise for you?
No, that's been the biggest innovation for me in the last probably about 4 weeks.
4 weeks. It's been about a month since you've had it now?
Yeah.
What's the biggest adjustment for you of using a touch-based device rather than... Because what was the last one you had, the fourth-generation iPod that died on you?
That was a third-generation iPod.
Was it the third?
Yeah.
So...
I think it's easier to navigate using the touch as I drive than I thought it would be.
Yeah?
That was my biggest concern.
I'm not real comfortable driving using my iPhone. That's why I have the Harman Kardon Drive Plus Play.
I had no problem with it.
Well, I know. You had no problem watching it while you drive.
Chris, anything going on in your life that we should hit on before we get out of here?
Not really.
No? Your wife didn't tell you yet? Never mind. Guy, thanks for being on the show this week. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's great.
We got no more dashboard minutes from you, though, right? It's a one-shot deal.
Well, unless somebody actually asks for them again, and I don't anticipate that happening.
Anyway, you know, if you see something cool, you can always roll that out onto the show as well.
Yeah.
Can I have some more dashboard minutes?
Chris, you've had all the dashboard minutes that you can possibly handle.
You'll have to explain.
Let other people have some dashboard minutes, too.
It's getting close to your bedtime, Chris. You don't need any more dashboard minutes.
they do excite.
It'll keep you up all night.
Yes, they do.
Okay. Any fenestrations from David Cohen coming up?
I was thinking that now that we're My Mac magazine again, perhaps I should move fenestration back to the site rather than doing it in audio, and maybe do it as a column.
I've always thought that your fenestration segments would have worked always better in text on the site, simply because for every one person that listens to this podcast, 50 more are reading it. Actually, significantly more than that, probably about 150 more. Are reading it on the site. So you're going to get a lot more attention, a lot more eyeballs by placing it as text on the site than you will as an audio file on the podcast.
Okay. Well, I've got some downtime coming over the next couple of weeks, so I'm going to start putting one together, and we'll see how that works out.
Speaking of which, you won't be here for a couple of weeks, correct?
No, I won't. I'm going to be vacationing with my folks in Florida, and internet connectivity is going to be a bit difficult, so I'm going to duck out for the next couple of weeks.
And you are going to pick up...
You can go visit Larry.
Oh, I'm certainly hoping to.
And you're going to pick up an Apple TV while you're here, correct?
I am, yes.
We're going to have to keep blaming Lee for this whole thing.
This is the problem with doing the podcast. I mean, you know, Sam does his picks, and every week I'm thinking, oh, I could buy that. Chad, I ordered one of those
Nausea King.
I ordered one of those for my new iPhone, so that's waiting for me when I get out there as well. So my credit card's taking a bit of abuse at the moment.
I tell you, I had no interest in the Apple TV until Lee came on the show and kept talking about it, and I kept asking him questions.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm completely hooked. Every DVD I own is now on the Apple, not on the Apple TV, but you know, accessible from the Apple TV.
It would collapse under its own weight.
You realize how much more work that you gave me, Lee. Thanks.
Well, I figure in the long run I'll save you time.
There's some movies that I can't figure out how I got or why I got them. What the hell do I have this for? I'm never going to watch this. Well, I better put it on the Apple TV, though. Well, just in case I ever want to, it's there.
Yeah. Kirby Goes to Monte Carlo.
And I'm seriously thinking about, you've seen my setup at home where I keep all the DVDs. I'm seriously thinking about just getting some tote and put all my DVDs in there. Why do I need a big wall full of DVDs at this point when they're all on the Apple TV?
Yeah, and you can just label it backups and put them in the basement.
Well, my daughter said, well, what if we want to watch it on our laptops? Well, you just copy the file from the server over to your laptop and watch it.
There you go.
Let's see. Who else do we got here? Chrissy Bold? No, we already talked to you, didn't we? No, we're at Lee. Anything coming up on the next couple weeks with you, Lee?
Well, you know, our team, I, you know, being the product guy and I don't do a lot of coding anymore, I just buy donuts. So I buy enough so each of the developers gets at least 3 donuts per day. And we're really hard at work just trying to get our first generation software out and planning for the next generation. So,
One question I got for you is, why does AOL make me download the new beta? This beta is expired. You must download the new one.
Well, it's part of, when we find out that we did something a little goofy or we want to give people a better experience, because we've had some issues with mail for some users, and as our beta testers go through things, they're like, wow, you guys, I found this, I found that. And once we get to a point where we feel like, oh, wow, we have enough bug fixes, we want to really push this out and give everybody a better experience. Yeah. So we'll put the message up for the users to know that there's a new version out. But as you can tell, it gets more frequent closer we get to the end.
That's true, yeah. Because so seems like every time I launch it, oh, there's a new one. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's only like 10 megs, so it's not a big deal. If you're on broadband, it's like, oh, click, download, unstuff, right. Boom, it's installed, I'm raring to go. So, I mean, it takes me literally less than a minute, and I'm up running with a new version.
Yeah, that's one of the things we're really proud of, being able to download, install, and get it launched in under 60 seconds. And, you know, a lot of software, you know, with all the capability that Apple gives you with, you know, being able to program under the Cocoa platform, it's just amazing how tight your code can be.
The only bug that I found in it is occasionally I'll log in and it'll say, you've got mail, and I have no mail. I think it's doing it just to tease me. I've got mail. I'm important. Or I don't have mail. Yeah, shut up, you liar face. You're liar face AOL.
Tim, in your copy, I think we added a couple of favorite things to your copy. So.
You and, might have mail.
And with that, we're going to wrap up the show. We do want to, one more time, talk about when the book comes out. When is it coming out, Chris?
April 15th is what I've heard. April 17th is what Amazon says. Sometime next week.
Sometime next week, you guys can pick up the big book of Apple hacks, tips, and tools for your Apple hardware, software, video, and music. Highly recommended, even though I haven't read it yet. I know Chris Siebold. I know some of the people that contributed. It's going to be a fantastic book. I'm going to buy a copy myself. You guys, somebody out there listening right now, don't have to buy a copy. Send an email to tim@mymac.com. Just put contest in the line, the subject line, and we'll pick one random winner, and Chris will get a book sent out to you. Thank you very much for that, Chris.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
And everybody else, thanks for being on the show. We'll be back next week. Sans David Cohen, of course. Have a good time in the States, David.
Thank you very much.
Lee, if you're not doing all that traveling thing, hopefully we'll hear you right here next week. You never know.
I'll be there.
And we'll have to get Chad back on more often. And Guy, of course.
Yep, MacHippie.com.
MacHippie.com. That's Guy. Bye.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.